Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X.
A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way, lit the day. We owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
Their seed and their spawn, they're the progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. So much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah, this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone, face down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who helped us to know that we are part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to show the same stand on, and if we live our lives correctly, we will be blessed to one day be called ancestors. This is a verbal libation.
Yes, whose names we do not know. Habaragani, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril. Today is Sunday, March the 21st, 2021, and you are listening to The Narrative. And it's a beautiful day outdoors. You know, it's a beautiful day here in the city of Houston. And I want to say hello to those of our other listeners who are listening to us in Colombia, in Mexico, in Brazil, in South Africa, in Germany, in Canada, as well as all over the United States, including Hawaii. What I understand, let's see, it's about 2:04 p.m. here in Texas, and it's around 10:04 a.m. there in Hawaii. So I want to say to you, aloha. Glad you are listening in to The Narrative. And we have a very, very timely show, very thought-provoking show. We may say things in this show that many of you probably never even thought of. I know I was surprised to even while I was researching the show this week, I was surprised to find some things that I never even thought of that was there in the scriptures that I really just didn't pay attention to. But the name of our show today is called Hard Decisions in the Time of Judgment. And our show description says that if you read on it online, it says that in both books of the Bible and Quran, they are filled with thousands of examples of good, bad, and deadly decisions. We are living in the judgment of God that can't be averted. The time has arrived that both sides must decide either you're with God or you're with Satan. You know, our response to the life we choose to live will be based in the day-to-day life decisions that we make. Whether you choose life or death is all based in decision-making. Now, we're going to explore that today. But first, I want to say that the NOI, Nation of Islam, put out every week the Final Call newspaper. And the Final Call newspaper have went digital now, so you can still get the hard copy, and you can also get the digital copies. Now, the thing with the digital copy, the extras that you get with the digital copies is that it would actually read the news to you. So, you know, living in the time that we live in, you know, man, hey, it's always good to sit back and have the news being read to you, especially if you are in a rush. Now, if you're a hard worker and you're on the go and you just don't have time to sit down and read the newspaper that day, well, now you have another option. You can go to www.finalcall/digital. And you can now listen to the news being read to you as technology continues to push forward in these days and times. So check it out. You can also still make subscriptions and have the newspaper delivered to your home. And now you can also have it delivered to your email as well. All right, and also, you know, I want to say something about springtime. You know, it's springtime in Texas. Not only does it bring the wildflowers, and March also brings the wind, and April brings the shower, but it also brings in financial woes because of the cost of living. It's constantly getting higher. Your wages still seem like they're being frozen. The school districts are raising your school taxes in many of parts here. And I know in City Houston, I can speak for here. But in looking at the times in which we are living in right now, and then with COVID, and then recently we had our freezes and these natural calamities, you can rest assured that your taxes are going to go up. The water, the gas, the lights will creep up on you. And I remember when I was working at school district, and it never fails, and many of you who are listening, you all know I'm telling the truth. Every school year, they would send out a invitation for you to opt into the insurance for that year. Okay. And it never fails. Whenever they get a new insurance company, the premium go up. And one thing I noticed is that not only did the insurance rate go up, but it seems like every time a new insurance company comes in that's being offered, and their premiums is a little bit higher than the previous group, the school district will give you a raise And then next thing you notice, your raise is being ate up from the insurance. Now, what kind of raise is that? The way every time you're given a raise, and then next thing you notice, your insurance rate go up and your taxes go up. Wicked, wicked place we live in, brothers and sisters. Very wicked. Let me say hello to my co-host today. Oh, I hope I'm hitting the right one. Brother Wiley, you here with me?
Yes, sir, brother.
All right. Salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got an interesting show today, brother, because, you know, during the times in which we live in, man, we can't seem to be making all these mistakes, man. You know, it's kind of either you is or either you ain't today. And we don't need to get caught up in things that we can avoid. You know, but this, the name of this show today, man, making hard decisions, you know, in a time of judgment. That can lead to either life for you or death for you. You got any thoughts on that, brother?
Yeah. Decision making in today's time in particular, we are confronted with some great challenges. And what makes a decision hard to make is the degree of comfort and effort associated with either option. You know, if we pretty comfortable in that in way things are flowing for us, then decision making is not too hard. If we not, then every decision we make can be really, really hard. And then it requires effort. How much effort do we have to give or put into what we are deciding on? If it requires a great effort, sometimes we can become exhausted before even attempting it.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
And so, you know, it, you're like, oh, man, that's too hard. You know, I don't want to think about it. It requires too much effort. You know, all these things right here is going to make decision making hard, but these decisions you make now really is decisions that you've been making all along that determine the course of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your very life today is a result of the decisions that you've made in the past and that you're making every day.
Right.
So when you look at your life and see where you are today, know that it is a result of decisions that you've made and are making continually. If you want to change your life, then you have to, what? Make better decisions that
right.
give you that change. And if
right.
you don't want to, just continue making the decisions that you've been making. And you,
well, I tell you,
you know,
man, can you imagine still continue on making those same decisions that's not getting you nothing or nowhere? And as we see, if you look at most people that lives on the streets, I'll never forget this brother, man. I helped from off of the street. And this brother knew the teachers now. You know, I never asked his name. I didn't want to know his name. But at one uh-huh. certain point in time, he came into the nation's teachings. And he was out there on the streets for about 2 years, man. And I said to that brother, I said, well, you know, what are you doing out here, brother? You know the truth. Why are you here? And then he told me that, well, I had a falling out with my family, and I did not want them to know, you know, what happened to me. See, there go a decision right there. You know, and it's, yeah, you made that decision. And I found it interesting when I was researching this program today. Man, brother, we're gonna kind of go through the life of the prophets today on this show. I'm just gonna let everybody know, and we're gonna be looking into the decision making. And I mean, it is so much there, brother. I don't know if even one show would do it justice. Because all the stuff I've been coming through, man, I mean, my God. but it's good that we look at it from that angle, because inside of those stories, dealing with the prophets and the decisions that they had to make, some of those decisions that a lot of them had to make were very hard decisions, you know? And all of it is pertaining to us, because just as Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. So they had to deal with some serious consequences for the decisions that they made, and we are doing the same thing. But man, brother, it's so subtle, you know?
Well,
go ahead.
You know, just think about it for a minute. You know, you make decisions every day.
Right.
We just don't think about the decisions that we make.
Right.
And the consequences of the decisions that we make. We don't think about
mm-hmm.
it. We just
we don't think
of it.
Right.
But, you know, these are decisions that we make and got consequence and reward. Not just reward. It's consequence
That's right.
and reward.
That's right.
And so, if you're making decisions that cause you to live in poverty, that's your decision.
Right.
It's nobody else's. It's your decision. See, too often we have gotten this tradition of blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and we blame because we don't want to take the responsibility that goes along with the decisions that we make. Yet we say we
right.
want the freedom to make them.
Right.
Well, you have
right.
the freedom to make them. And when you make them, they don't bring you the results or reward that you want. You still
right.
made it. And so now that
yep.
decision is causing you consequences that you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, deal with it and make a better decision next time. That
right,
means
right.
you have to give real serious thought and thinking to your decision making.
Yeah.
And
sometimes, right.
sometimes you got to make them a little faster than what you may be prepared to do. So
oh, man, you're going different to talk about
to live,
that.
that means you got to live a certain way, and that is
yep.
living a life in preparation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some decisions are made quickly and have to be made quickly. Others are long and stretched out, can cover long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not into the Flip Wilson thing, the devil made me do it.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah.
I'm not into that. You know, at one time we could claim that. We could legitimately say that. But
right.
Now, no, it's too much truth. It's truth everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. It's revelations everywhere. You can, it's the truth is so pronounced in today's time. It's
right.
Everywhere.
That's
you
right.
You are chosen. You are actually, you have freedom. You are choosing
mm-hmm.
the life that you are living. You have
That's
made
right.
this decision cause you to be where you are in life. Deal with
mm-hmm.
it.
That's right. That's right. You know that that's so true, and that's right on point, and it definitely goes into our show. Man, you can't run around here talking about no devil did this for you. No, the hocus pocus devil. You know, you go look in the mirror, and then you tell me what do you see? The devil made me do it. You know, the thing about the mirror, brother, is that the mirror,
yeah.
the mirror is will show you two different, you know, it's showing your image right back at you. So while you hollering, the devil made me do it. Well, you the devil that you looking at. So you made you do it. And don't you know that the devil in the Quran says that, when God was questioning him, he said, all I did was just made a suggestion. A suggestion. That means, that denotes that, look, you had a choice. You either do it or you don't.
Yeah.
I just made a suggestion to you.
Yeah.
So therefore, can the devil be held responsible?
You
know?
You know, look, the devil have done what he was going to do, is doing what he's going to do every day. He, you know, every day, man. Look.
Right.
Look, ain't nobody going for that story no more. It just ain't nobody
exactly.
going for it. Ain't nobody going for it here, and ain't nobody going for it internationally. No, man.
Yeah.
We have to make better decisions. And we have
right.
to be responsible for our decision making.
Right, right.
And when you look at the root of your decision making,
mm-hmm.
that's
right.
where you're going to see something going on. Is it based
mm-hmm.
in fear?
Right.
Most of it is. And what is
yep.
it the fear of? It's the fear of some type of loss. Or
mm-hmm.
some threat of death. So it's based
yeah.
in fear. You see, I'm gonna lose my house. I'm gonna lose my apartment. I'm gonna lose my car. I'm gonna lose my job. Just look at that. I'm gonna lose my life. why the hell do you think? What? How come you can't win?
Yeah, yeah.
You only think of losing. So your
right.
decision making is based in the fear of loss and the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder the outcome is like it is.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the Quran said?
I can't live like that.
The Quran said the same
like
thing. It clearly states, it said fear of loss of life. Loss of property, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Loss of fruits.
You know, that you're just telling me you're a slave. That's what you're saying, you're a slave. You
mm-hmm.
know, if I do this, I think I'm going to lose my wife. You're going to lose your wife? Oh, my God. See, it involves action, and it
right.
involves inaction.
That's
your decision making I'm talking about.
Yep.
If I do this, I might lose my car. If I don't do this, then man, I stand to lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, brother, know what?
The people.
Go ahead. You know, I just
people,
I think it's very important. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The people in the hills in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
If
right.
I was running down that mountain so fast, it's outrunning their vehicle. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Say, you don't have no time to do nothing but get the hell out of here. And then they
yeah.
sitting up thinking, if I leave, I'm going to lose my house. You lose your house. You done lost your life
yeah.
trying to.
You're going to lose your life.
You done lost your life trying to make a decision.
Right,
man,
right.
Come on, man.
You know what? I seen a person there, man, standing there with a water hole. And big old fire is coming. Water holes, even if the water holes can head legs, the water holes be trying to get the hell out of there too. You got to go. I remember a young man once. This lady, for whatever reason, I don't know how the fire started in their closet, but. She was trying desperately to put the water out. And though, so the young man told him, come on, mama, let's go. just stop trying. Let's go. You know, there comes a time where that decision telling you, man, it's time to go. And you can't stand there. And brother, what I was going to jump in on, since we're talking about that loss of life, loss of property, and loss of fruits, also, man, we got to always make sure we bring this out. Pride, you know what I'm saying, is always present. And a lot of things is, man, you don't want to admit the fact that you're wrong in your decision making. when we go wrong, damn, that's the reason why you got a whole nother day to go out and do it again. You still got life in your body.
You don't want to
so
admit.
Go try it again.
Well, so you don't want to admit. It's the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
The fear of failure.
Yes. Yes.
Look at it. The fear of being ostracized, pushed away.
Yes. Yes.
You know, all kinds of fear, the fear of mockery.
Yes.
If you're living in a world like fear like that, man, how you gonna make the right decisions is one thing. You're living
right.
in a world that all your decisions is based on fear.
Yes, yes. Man,
you
that's
know,
deep.
yeah, yep. It is deep.
Yep, and going through those stories on the prophets, bro, that's that everything that we opening up the show with, you all gonna hear it in the lives of the prophets. I'm gonna go down the row of them, and hopefully we definitely need to get to Moses. Moses' story, man. Abraham and Moses, man, they had so much decision making, life changing decisions that they had to make, and what took place in their lives. But you know, I'm gonna start here. You know, in life, we're faced with life and death situations that could either advance us in this life or hinder us from our greatest achievements in this life. The Quran speaks of the hereafter as being a great achievement for man and woman. And the founder of the Nation of Islam, Master Farhad Muhammad, spoke of the restrictive laws of Islam as being our success at all times. What is it about obedience that causes us to achieve great success in both this life and in the hereafter? Your thoughts, bro. What is it about this obedience thing? Yes, sir. Your thoughts on that.
You know, you're not under a, put it like this. You're not under a debt sentence. I don't live like that. You're not under a death sentence. Here, you're challenged by life itself in life. You are naturally challenged. So being that you are naturally challenged, you are constantly front decision. If you, and you have to make them based on what? Reason. You have to reason things out. That is a function of mind. You have to reason things out. A function of mind to make judgments and the best one you can make. So you have to have something in your head to compare it with.
Right.
Now, if somebody is encouraging me toward a particular path or selection, and I have seen nothing but success from this one, I'm definitely more prone to follow what they say than someone that is not successful or have been successful. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Oh yeah.
So I'm much, that to me is common sense. That's reasoning. I'm using my reasoning faculty. You know, that's a natural part of my belief system. I'm establishing it. Based on what? Let's say failure rate and success rate.
Exactly.
So if I'm more successful, well, that has to come as a result of action. And so if following the pattern of success have constantly led me to success, then I must be making some pretty good decisions.
Right. Exactly.
Following the path that is constantly showing itself to lead me to, no, man, I ain't finna do that.
Right. Right.
So you take your parents. When you mention obedience, you take your parents. If your parents instruct you to stay away from something because it represents a danger to your survival, you have the choice to even to follow what they are saying or to reject what they're saying. If you follow what they're saying and it proves to lead you to success, you're more inclined to following other things they say and have said.
Right,
if you're following their instructions and their structure, their instructions is leading you to failure. And all those things that you're trying to avoid, then you are less likely to follow their instructions, or you're not.
Roll your teach. Right.
So,
right.
I mean, you know, choices are to be made. And choices are to be made You are being judged every day. You're being judged as well as you are judging every day.
Right. Right. It's definitely a give and take thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
Because if you know, it's consequent, it's reward.
Yep.
You know, people,
right.
People don't, a lot of people, not all people, a lot of people don't think about it. They say this is the day of judgment, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, they think this is a particular day in which God is just going to judge everybody, right?
Yeah, right.
Listen to me. Your pattern of life is established by your decision-making.
That's true.
You are making judgments every day that determine the quality of life that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So what is God doing with that?
Right.
So you have to be careful not to drift into a type of knowledge that has caused us over 400 years of direct suffering.
Mm-hmm.
See, you understand what I'm saying. If you think this is a particular day, then you better go back and rethink that. No, this is
exactly.
Every day of your
every
life.
Day you wake up.
And
before right.
You're down. And I'm saying
right.
This because the devil has been on this planet for approximately 6,000 years.
Right.
His decision making within his life, his decision has led him to this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences thereof. So he have what? He has tormented the life that is up on the earth. He has tormented.
Right.
He has given hell to the life that is up on the planet. Since he been here. That's what he do.
Yes, sir.
That's who he is.
Yes, sir.
And now it has come a time. This is what his path has led him to. And so you see in his scripture, it says what? He that has lived by the sword shall do what?
Die by the sword.
Die by the sword. He
yep.
That has led others into captivity shall what?
Be in
captivity
himself. Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? So as he have wound, now it has come to him. The scripture
right.
Says, as thou hast done, so
mm-hmm.
Shall it be done unto you. Scared to die. He's
right.
Terrified. That's why he want to know everybody's business. That's why
oh,
he
yeah.
Got all them satellites in the sky up there. He want to see
right.
And know every movement that everybody is making. He wants
mm-hmm.
To be what is called preemptive. He wants to strike you at the thought that he's thinking, that you thinking about doing something to him or his world or society. He is
right.
Living in utter fear and chaos.
Right.
And the fear is producing behavior. He's scared
oh, yeah.
To death. He's scared of what? Losing everything that he has gained in
mm-hmm.
His world. And he sees that it is being lost daily.
Daily.
Pass rate.
Yeah.
He is losing pace. Everything, including his mind.
Mm-hmm. You know,
ain't
man,
no
that is powerful.
Ain't no getting out.
Right.
Ain't no changing this. Ain't no getting out. All of this
right.
about the magic potion, creating vaccines, and everything. Ain't no magic potion. Ain't nothing you can make going to change this thing.
No.
Mark my words. Mark them.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you think you've got a solution, watch what happens. It's going to fail. Now
right.
he's living in the world of failure. You know why
mm-hmm.
he's living in the world of failure?
As thou hast done,
because
so shall it be done unto you.
He is in the time of another
mm-hmm.
ruler.
Exactly.
He is in the time of another conqueror.
Come on.
This ruler is God himself.
Mm-hmm.
He can't be successful. He can't produce success no more. Everything he do and everything he tries to do fails.
Right. Right.
He's experiencing pain. No one can come to his rescue and help him to win. No one
mm-hmm.
has the power to win against what he's up against.
Oh, no.
This is
exactly.
his judgment. It
mm-hmm.
is the fulfillment. It is the fulfillment of his judgment. He's been
mm-hmm.
judged all along, constantly. Destroyed nations,
exactly.
societies, murdered, plundered. He have done it all, bro. Kidnapped.
Yep.
He done it all.
Yep.
And now he is reaping what he sowed.
Yep. Yep. Yes, sir.
This is judgment.
And this is judgment, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's been on my mind this week. When you read about, when the messenger said about this world, talking about this, especially in the United States, said that this place will burn 610 years and it takes 309 years to cool off. And I was thinking, I said, you know what? I hope nobody's thinking that 610 years is talking about somewhere down the line. That's happening every day since his coming.
Every day, bro.
Every day. So that's 600 years. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're thinking on. That's taking place every day since his coming.
What?
You know, come on now.
What did the scripture say a day was to God?
1,000 years.
So count that 610 and 390.
Right.
What do that come to? Huh?
Hmm.
1,000 years.
1,000 years, yeah. Yeah.
Hell. Oh, my God. Hell. Huh.
Yeah.
Boy, this is going to, what? This time period right now, they think they're in hell. The world think they really in hell. Boy,
mm-hmm. Oh, you haven't seen nothing yet.
Every year, watch it. Mark my word. Watch.
Yep.
Mark every year that you are blessed to live. Mark
mm-hmm.
every year. Every year will worsen the condition
yes, right.
of America.
Every That's right.
year.
Every year.
Will worsen the condition of America and the condition of everyone that is attached to her. I'm telling you, look, that's right. I'm just telling you what I've been taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
This is referred to as the beginning of sorrows, not our sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning of sorrows. You think it's bad now? People will wish for 2020 in 2021.
Exactly. that's right on point. That's right on point. Because we haven't seen
nothing yet,
and it just started.
We
only, what, 3 months
right.
into it? Yeah. Just 3 months into it.
You notice everything that is happening, they are referring to it as what? Biblical portion. What do you mean by
that?
What do you mean by that? That means the disasters are so terrible that you only see things like this when it concerns what is going on in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why are you pointing that? This is a time. And what? Every since that period began of his time, he is being judged. What that means, a book has been kept on his deeds.
Yep.
A book has been kept on his deeds.
Come on.
So we know what he has earned for himself. So he can't say the God of today is unjust.
Right.
In this universe, there is natural law. The natural law is God's law. You don't have to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It's in place.
It's already there. Exactly.
Already there.
Right.
In place. Some people call it karma.
Right. And they do call it that, don't they?
Yeah,
some people
call it karma. You get what you earn.
Right.
Dang.
It's right. It's going
to
come back.
Man. All this my God. Look at him.
Man, them flames is constantly going up. Yep.
Look what he has stacked up for himself. Ah, man. It's who want to be a lawyer for him?
Shoot. What defense could you bring up? Because even the Quran says that your hands will bear witness against you in that day. Even the hands saying, look, God, I ain't had nothing to do with it. It was him.
Well.
It was his decision. I was just following.
Man,
yeah, even when your own hands start bearing witness against you, man, God, dog, even your feet start talking about you.
Yeah, and your hands is the work that you've done with them.
Exactly, it's the work.
Your feet is the path that you walk all over the earth.
That's right.
The path. And
that's
when
right.
you look behind him at the path that he has laid, it is filled with death and destruction. It is filled with misery, suffering, and pain. Poison the air. Poison the water and all the life in it. He murders and destroys the life upon the planet and calls it gain.
Yep.
This is judgment. Don't blame me. It's what you earn. There are consequences for what you do. As well as what you refuse to do.
That's right.
Now you get what you earn. That's a just God that give you what you earn. Don't you like working for somebody who gives you truly what you've earned?
Right. If peace is what you earn peace. If wickedness is what you earn, you earn wickedness. Yeah. Like that old saying say, you can't plant tomatoes and reap yams. You get exactly what you plant into the earth.
So a man thinketh in his heart?
Yep.
So is he.
So is he.
What do you mean
That's
by
right.
heart? Not the one beating in your chest.
Yep.
The heart is the core of your being.
That's right.
And the core of his being is what? Murder and death.
Mayhem. Ooh, boy. Even the animals even getting ticked off.
Hey, bro.
Going out there fooling with them animals.
If he want to get mad with the God, get mad with the messenger.
Yep. And all the messengers did was just, as they say, deliver the message.
If he believe, if he got a lawyer, if he got a lawyer, which everybody deserves to have in court, right?
Right.
And if he can put forth a case on his behalf that is convincing to give us reason to doubt and what we've been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then I guess we'll have to file him. But as of yet, I have heard no evidence that would acquit him of nothing he's guilty of.
That's right. That's right. You know, brother, like I say, man, you know, you get what in this life, what you give. And they got, I remember when that movie came out, they didn't want people to go and see it, but it was a movie called The Hate U Give. And I have yet to see it, but that young girl, man, they turned around and they killed her boyfriend. And she rose up on him. And many people rose up right along with her. You know, man, these type of incidents, man, that keeps going on, man. Like right now we got this case going on with George Floyd that hit the news again. Okay, now they in the jury trial, you know. And the deal is, I think somebody had asked a question, you know, how should we look at Derek Chauvin? I mean, what other way can you see him as? This Satan. That's what I'm saying. This Satan is sitting there with his knee on a man's neck. And if you look at old pictures of people who went out there and killed lions, what is the stance they take? They kneeling with the little rifle and the pole lion sitting there dead, right? Take what Derek Chauvin did. He had his knee on the man's neck, and then he had the nerve to put his hands in his pockets, which was saying to you that I'm in control and y'all can't do nothing about it. That's what that whole picture shows. So what do you think you're dealing with there? You're dealing with a man with a beast-like mentality. You're not dealing with a human being with a heart of flesh. You're dealing with a beast in human form. He don't have no heart. And all this, well, we can't find a venue for him. You know, nobody don't know the case. Well, what do you expect? It's two ways you deal with beasts, especially a wild beast. Right? Cage him. Or what else?
He's a whole lot. Wait a minute now. Now, let me show you something. Beasts, they kill for food.
Right.
and they kill to protect what? Themselves
and
their territory where their food is, right?
Right, right.
They defend their young, right?
Yep.
So when you look at the motivation of a beast, you know, the scripture said the beast that was not, but is. Meaning similar to a beast.
Yep.
He's similar to a beast, but he ain't quite a beast. Because he is what? Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast.
Right.
666.
Right.
And they tell you this number is the number of a man. So they say it's the number of a man. So that means you got a man here who is beast-like, but not quite a beast because he is a man. I wonder who that's pointing out. You don't have to wonder today.
Yep.
Today is judgment. Look, let me tell you something. We don't be joking at these people. I want the listeners out there to know.
Yep.
The messenger said don't be poking fun and joking at him now. Because he ain't feeling too good.
Yep.
You know, don't be poking fun and joking him. Because
see,
he's in a situation that he know he can't get out of. He know what time it is. And he know he about to lose everything. And when a man is like that, he ain't feeling good for you to be running around poking fun at him about his condition.
Right.
Because he'll say, well, hell, if I'm going, I might as well take you with me.
They will take you with me, yeah.
And believe this, that is his aim.
Oh, yeah.
So
most definitely.
Leave him alone. Don't poke at him. Don't joke at him. Because he ain't feeling good. He don't wake up in the morning feel good. He don't go to bed at night feeling good. He is in a state of mind of pure misery. You look at what time it is. Look at what's going on. Look, have you ever seen this going on in America before?
Oh, no.
Who was the people that attacked the Capitol?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't us.
Wasn't us.
Yep.
Wasn't us. Can't blame that on us.
That's right.
Is not he fighting with himself?
Mm-hmm.
Is not Satan casting out the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Is not that a fight going on? Why the scripture bears witness to the truth?
Mm-hmm.
He's been turning in on himself. He's turning in on himself. You get the hell out the way. You hear what I'm saying? And everybody, you get the hell out the way. You better get the hell out the way. You better get out of them streets.
Right.
Because them streets are going to be full of blood in a very short time.
In a very short time.
And if you don't want it to be yours, you better get the hell out.
That's right.
This is going to be him spilling his own blood, fighting against himself.
As we witnessed during the Civil War. Remember that? That whole Civil War thing was him fighting against themselves.
You better get the hell out of this, man. They are very artful when it comes to killing.
Right. What's that old saying they always say? Don't poke the bear, buddy. You know, that's their language.
Brother,
we're gonna take a break. On the other side of the break, everybody, we're gonna talk about our first prophet we're going to examine, we're going to call Noah up to the witness stand. So brother, we're going to be right back. We are back for hour two. The song that you just heard, that was a song that I composed a few years ago, probably like back during the 90s or so, maybe. And it's instrumental. It's called R&B Groove. That if you all notice, that's the same music for our outro music for the show. And you know, I mean, man, if you put your mind to it, creativity, man, you can find yourself having a lot of fun, just with yourself. When I did that song, it was just me and my friend who is a guitar player by the name of Marshall, but the bass that you hear, that's me playing, the keyboards, that's me playing, and also the little piano part that you hear. Also, that was me playing, and I just took some electronic drums and just found the right drum sound that I wanted to use, and boom, there you go. Came up with a jam. But today we're talking about hard decisions in the time of judgment. Okay, we're gonna kind of go through the scriptures.
No, first prophet, I want to start it with Brother Wiley, and let's examine Noah. You know, during those days, there was no such thing as religion back then. There was only practice, and the practice was reading through the scripture, I just see the practice was to obey God. And I'm like, can you imagine the plight of Noah in those days? You know, the people of Noah were just like the people of today. You know, we live our lives under constant distractions and foolishness. Noah became God's prophet and warner during such conditions of constant noise and distractions, and that's what we deal with today. Bunch of noise and distractions. What keeps you in the mindset, in the condition in which you're in? I mean, if you think on Noah and how he began his mission, he was laughed at, he ridiculed, talked about, called a crazy man. In fact, the whole valley made a laughing stock of that man and teased his family. But after a time of living under constant mockery and rejection from the people, God instructed Noah to build an ark, you know? Yeah, I'm sure Noah took a thought, why would I build an ark in a valley, God? You know, at this point, right there, if you look at it, it was a decision that was made and by Noah. You know, should I obey God or should I obey the people that are calling me a deranged man, you know? Noah made the decision to obey God, and the people's decision was to reject Noah and the God that Noah served. What was the consequence of the people's rejection of Noah? Noah and his family became the joke of the entire valley, and every day people would gather and laugh at Noah and would say to him, you know, man, they just laughing at you. You know, that man's stupid, that man crazy. You know, that man is, you know, he lost his mind. you can imagine, brother, if you put it like more modern text, man, that man Noah lost his damn mind. That's the way we talk. But then, Noah said, according to the scriptures, Noah said to them, you are laughing at me today, but tomorrow I will be laughing at you. And according to the Quran, on the day of the flood, Noah had a family issue with one of his sons. One son made the decision to remain with the people who rejected Allah and his father for years. Everybody, that was a bad decision for the son to make. He chose the wayward and rebellious lifestyle of the people of that day over his father and God. Out of mercy, though, now the Quran does show this. It said, out of mercy, you know, Allah arranged a meeting between that son to talk to his father one last time and to make a decision before he met his demise. Noah said, now this is what the words say. It says, my son, embark with us and be not with the disbelievers. The son said, I would take myself for refuge to a mountain that would save me from the water. Noah said, there is none safe today from Allah's command, but he who has mercy, and a wave intervened between them, so he was amongst the drowned. Brother, that, you see, that's what we're talking about, these decisions, man. He was given a choice, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then a meeting was even made. But bad decision.
Hey, man, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like this. It's like, just say you got, someone who has been recognized for quite a period of time
mm-hmm.
as having more power than everybody else. Riches,
right.
The whole works, right?
Right.
Then he's actually going broke or broke. He's still allowed to sit at the table. Why? Because
right.
he wields
right.
such power over a period of time that no one really want to challenge and say, hey, you know, you got to put up. They won't even ask him that.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he broke, he's still allowed to sit at the table and participate in the game, right?
Right.
Think about what I'm saying. These people here, as in the days of Noah,
mm-hmm.
they had a life that they thought was the life, right?
Right.
And so the people of that society who rule that society, they believed in. And so the son saying, I'm going to take refuge. I'm going to go up to a mountain where he could save himself. That's a high place, right?
Yeah.
And so that means he had friends in high places.
There you go.
But he could go up and feel safe amongst those who were on that level.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
But
definitely.
His father was trying to tell him, hey, man, they ain't high enough.
Right.
When this destruction's come, it's going to rise above everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of hard for
That's
them to
right.
see that when you are in a valley, right?
Oh yeah.
And it's the people in the high place can look down on you in the valley, and they laughing like hell because they feel really safe. They're above everyone else. But as
mm-hmm.
that water started to rise,
right?
It was coming on up, right?
Right.
And as that water rise and come on up, you know, so did the ark of Noah.
Right.
And so he was no longer in that low place as he was seen, as he was viewed by those people who were in the high place.
Yeah.
The water was lifting him up. And while
mm-hmm.
it was lifting him up, it was destroying everything that was beneath.
Right.
And so he kept rising, and everything beneath the ark was being destroyed. Now, can you imagine this? The ark now is on the level of those who are at the high place.
Yep.
Now, they are really concerned. They
right.
can't go no further. But the water is still raising Noah up above their high place. From once they
right.
were looking down on Noah, now they looking up at him. Boy, that must have been terrifying.
I bet.
Now they looking up at him and they begging, please open your ark and let us refuge. Huh?
Right. Right.
Because we can see this water is rising above us. And Noah can't open the ark, though. So it
right,
keeps rising
right.
till it rose above all those that thought they were in high places. And where they were, the water couldn't reach them.
Right.
Now they drown. Now the water then rolls above all the mountains. It's above all of the high places. Only the ark has the dry earth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything
right.
everybody else is caught in the flood. Boy, this is really a deep story.
Yeah, man.
It's really a deep story, great depiction of the end. And so what? After a period of time, everything drowned.
Right.
Everything drowned. Then the water began to recede. You know?
Right, right.
And as the water began to recede, so does the ark. And this is the way. Hey, what can you say? People today feel they're in such high places that they can't be touched by such. You know?
Right.
But they ought to learn. There ain't no place that is higher than the mother plane.
Oh, yeah.
There's no place higher than the mother plane.
What the teaching says, the master said he'll climb a mountain 40 miles high. And you know there's no mountain on this earth that's no 40 miles high. So what's that talking about?
Pretty deep.
Yeah, man.
You know, bro, we rejoice today. We rejoice today in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Messenger of Allah.
Right.
We rejoice in the teaching. We are grateful and eternally thankful. Well, man, I had no idea. I didn't even think my brain could think these kind of thoughts.
I saw no possibility before
he taught us this teaching.
Right, right.
We drunk it in.
Yep.
And as us drinking it in, you know, and it taking its effect, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are good and intoxicated on the truth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And we laughing and going on, and people wondering, in a time like this, what do we find to laugh about? Why the hell are we so joyful in a time like this?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you go back and you look at Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Oh, yeah.
They were thrown into a fiery furnace.
Right.
All of this is theology, man. We understand
this is theology.
We understand that. The decision was made a time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision that was made a time ago was when we wrote our letter. When we wrote our letter, we wasn't playing. Everything that was in that letter that we wrote, we meant.
Mm-hmm.
Written in our what? One prayer. Do you know what that's about?
One thing, and then we had to do it in cursive. Can you imagine people today who don't even being taught cursive, trying to write in cursive?
Well, you know.
Today.
Well, I'll tell you this much, brother. It's serious, and it's always been serious to us.
And the hardness,
you know, like what it was is we went through something.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't know. We went through something. We couldn't just lip profess. We went through something. The messenger. Made sure that we had to follow a pattern. The messenger was the first. The messenger was the first one of us to follow that path.
Right. Right.
And in
That's
so
right.
doing, he became successful. So
right.
we saw that he was successful in following that pattern, and he told us this pattern leads to success.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we gonna follow it. He didn't tell us nothing about the pattern was gonna be easy, none of that, because it was
right.
the pattern that God laid. He said it was the pattern that will lead us to success.
Yep.
And so we began to follow the pattern. And in so doing, that's exactly where it led us to, success.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
mm-hmm.
success what? What we was looking for.
Yep.
What we was
looking for
was who laid the pattern.
Right,
and that's
right.
what we found.
That's a good point. And,
that's what
and
we
and
found.
Yeah, that's what we found. Because then I remember earlier, last hour, I made mention that what Master Farad Muhammad said. He said he spoke of the restrictive laws as being our success at all times. Then period. Our success
yeah.
at all times. And brother, you know, that's gonna open up a whole other can of worms, but we got some other examples to go into. But I promise y'all, we're gonna talk about that because if you notice something about how these shows are being designed. We probably about what, two, three weeks ago, we was talking about puzzles, right? And so therefore, when I look at the supreme wisdom, and you know, it always start off like the first law is to obey God, you know, recognize there's no God but, you know, one God. And I said to myself, you know, if you talk about building up a puzzle of success, then you can take each point that's in that law and build your puzzle pieces of success from based on every last one of those laws. It's over 30 of them. Over 30. That's probably 35, 36, I think. And you can take each piece and build your puzzle of success right out of that restrictive law. But brother, I want to go into but we're gonna definitely go into that, 'cause I have something that I'm gonna get real deep on that, and but there'll be a later show. But brother, but going
well,
back
just,
to this, Noah.
May I say this
yeah, go
just
ahead.
Before you go into that?
Go ahead.
You know,
ahead.
I want the listeners to realize something. I want them to hear me on this, and it's very
mm-hmm.
brief.
Yeah, go ahead.
The messenger followed the pattern that the one God made, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We followed the messenger. And it led us to the one God. It led us
mm-hmm.
to success. A lot of times
right.
we only hear about the God finding us here in the hills of North America, right? But like he found us, we found him.
Right.
And the messengers say, look here, that the God said, think of it. The messenger was the one who found him amidst us all.
Yep.
He said, he opened his eyes and he recognized me. That needs to be studied.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Yeah, I do.
How was it?
Thinking on it. Yeah.
How was it that this man, the one whom we follow, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, how did he open his eyes and recognize the all in all? How did he do that? He was born for it.
Oh, yeah.
So not only was God looking for him.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
He was looking for God.
Mm-hmm.
And they found each other.
Right.
Boy, you need to, whoa!
And you need to really give some study to this. When you were saying that, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. For one thing, he was definitely looking for God. He was looking for a way out of his condition, all those things and above. And, man. I just wanted to say that point. Yep. That's true, though. Because we talking about entire planet. Out of the entire planet, these two men found each other.
Found each other.
that's something to think about.
Ain't that
something? Yep.
Boy, you need
found
to,
each other.
You know, we Brother D, we are so blessed. It's all right
that the world don't know yet.
It's all right. The ones who know. And it's all right that the ones who don't know yet don't know.
Yep.
In time,
yep.
For sure. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
In time. They will know. And what they will know is the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is truly the last and greatest messenger of Almighty God, Allah himself, because the message that he brought to us was the greatest message from God that he have ever given to a messenger, to anyone.
Right.
And you know
right.
what one of that is? His own identity.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember, God wasn't known by no whole bunch of folks.
No.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad to us.
Right.
No, he wasn't known like that. Or you talking about the subject you're talking about with Moses? Everybody didn't know him. I'm going to say with Noah. Everybody didn't know him.
No
one knew him. And that's the thing, again, all that, his identity as such was not known by the multitude.
That's right.
So that's very important in what you're talking about. So, you know, if you don't know him, and then he's saying, you're looking at Noah, and Noah's saying, God told me, you saying, Noah, you've been drinking.
Exactly.
God ain't told you nothing.
In our day and time.
You're saying that based on your knowledge.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
But God's message is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You can't doubt it.
Right.
You can't doubt it. It's perfect. The word is perfect.
Go ahead.
And so, and then I'm going to back off this. And so, he give it to Noah. Noah give it to the people. So, hey, God told me to tell
Those
you this.
Don't listen. Yeah.
Now, you don't want to listen. That ain't on me.
Yep.
I'm obeying. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Right. And there were other people that got on that ark, with Noah, according to the scripture.
Yeah.
Because they will always say at the end that those who believe in with Noah, we delivered them all.
Well,
always do people that will
listen. Are you not? You're talking about the believers, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, that's with all through the line of time. It's the believers.
That's right. That's right.
And
this
are
thing,
we,
what I'm getting ready
we
to
are
say,
the believers.
Is definitely, yep. Talking about the believers, because that little story when you talk about Noah and that song, brother. Everybody listen to the radio. I mean, to this. You know, as we look at the dynamics of the son, remember, that son lived day and night as a child with his father and his family. And I'm sure he heard talk of the talk from his father concerning Allah's judgment. Today we have children, brother, who grew up in our homes as believers. Who heard the talk, but they are choosing the way of the world over the instructions of the parents and the messenger and God himself today. See, this is part of what I want to talk about with these hard decisions today that you're going to have to make. See, we're going a little deeper into this thing here. That's why I say I don't know if part one is going to stop.
Don't you?
It did.
Don't your children have the right to make that decision?
Yes, they do, and this is why.
They have the right to make that decision.
We're talking to them. You know, we're talking to them because in light, as a matter of fact, something very current, in light of what we're talking about, children and decision. Brother, have you been noticing in the news they talk about Kirk Franklin and his son? You've been seeing that?
Yes, I've heard about it.
Well, this is just about the same thing that we're talking about. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Look at the messenger, the great example,
mm-hmm.
the best example.
Yeah, exactly.
These children have to make decisions too.
Exactly.
And this is the messenger of Allah.
Right.
And his children have to make decisions too.
People right in your own homes. That's right.
It's all a part of it. The book says we will be tried. The book say we will be tried.
Mm-hmm.
Hard trials are necessary to establish the truth.
Right. Right.
And we are tried with that which is closest to our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Children is one of the things that is very close to our heart.
Right.
Was not Abraham tried?
Oh, yeah.
So.
And that Abraham thing, too, man, we're going to talk about it. Matter of fact, we're going to do him next. As I finish with this on Noah, because also in the scripture, after the son drowned, I mean, now think about this. Now, can you imagine Noah feelings at the time of his son's decision to stay with the rejection?
Sure.
Noah, like all of us, we're human. And what mother
sure.
and father wants to watch their children being pulled off to their death? So the Quran,
none that I know of.
11:45. If you all, those of you who have a Quran, you want to pull it up. Noah cried, it says that Noah cried out to the God. He said, "My Lord, surely my son is of my family, and thy promise is true, and thou art the just of the judges." Now notice Noah's words. You know, he followed up with, "And your promise is true. And you are the just of the judges." You know, this is coming from a man now perplexed at over losing his son. And to be honest with you, since God reads your thoughts, I can imagine, man, Noah would probably saying, you know, in the unsaid word, "God, why did you do it?" You know, Noah's Noah inner longing for an answer did not go over the heads of God, because God heals the subtleties. He's the God, he's the master of subtlety and reading subtlety.
Well,
and don't you know that the scriptures followed up? The scriptures followed up. God said to this to Noah. He said, "Oh Noah, he is not of your family. He is of unrighteous conduct." Now they had in parentheses an embodiment, but I'm pretty sure that came from the scholars. But it says of unrighteous conduct. So this is what was said. It says, "So ask nothing of me of which you have no knowledge. I admonished you lest you be of the ignorant." You know, this picture of what goes on in the home life of the righteous. There's no prophet, no messenger or warner that do not have, you know, family that will not follow their way, as you was mentioning about the messenger as well. But what a blow to face that in some of our homes, your own husband, wife, son, daughter, and other family members may not follow your way to God. That's their choice and decision to either follow God's way or not, or follow the rules, who are traveling headlong into the pit of hellfire.
Okay.
Yeah. That's something, bro. Go ahead.
I can say this. As a Muslim, we are transformed.
Right.
Our mind is made new. Surely we can see the God.
Right.
He knows how we love our children and our spouses.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I've raised nothing and no one above my God. I've raised nothing and no one above my God.
Right.
The beauty that I see in my children, the love that I see in my children, the love that I see in my woman for me, I know is the love of God himself. I am not deceived by the flesh like that. I am, and I thank God that I'm not. I realize that all I have of good and love and comfort comes from the God, because I love the God, and no one can comfort me but the God. And I learn of my God from my messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, from following the path. And so it led me to the success, as well as all Muslims, it leads to success. And we know that we are blessed that Allah grants us such gifts as wonderful children, wonderful spouses. We know this is rewards and blessings of his grace, beneficence, and kindness. And we look at them like that. And so things then are in their rightful place. The thing that matters is we lose not the favor of God or his messenger. That's what matters. And that's why choices are not hard for us to make, nor to live with. As long as we know we please Allah and the messenger, our hearts are content. We are satisfied. We can live or die in peace. That is the reward that he gives to us. We're satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm. So you know what? That leads us. I'm glad you said that. That leads us into Abraham. The father of all nations had to make a decision to leave his parents and family behind because they were idolaters. But you know, Abraham had to make several life-changing decisions in his life. Abraham wanted a child, and Sarah, his wife, could not give him a child, so Sarah made the decision to give her handmaiden Hagar over to Abraham to produce a child in a surrogate situation. And Sarah, through jealousy, dealt harshly with Hagar, pregnancy, you know, who was pregnant with the child, and she drove that lady, that sister, out of the house verbally, you know. But from the old sayings, whenever I hear people talk about that, they say that Abraham put her out. But the scriptures don't say that.
Well, you better get it right.
You know what I'm saying?
The
scriptures don't say that.
I'm just saying. You better get it right.
Yeah.
And getting it right is know this. Abraham loved Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sarah who he wanted having his
mm-hmm.
son.
Right, right.
It wasn't that Abraham wanted another. It was the love of Sarah for her husband
mm-hmm.
that brought that about.
Oh,
it
yeah.
brought it about because she wanted to fulfill the happiness of his heart by giving him a son.
Right.
If she couldn't have it to satisfy him, she gave him one that could bear it.
Mm-hmm.
How she, I'm going to say it in the street word, how she got tossed was when she carried the son.
Mm-hmm.
She mocked Sarah. She felt she had the favor of Abraham because she carried his son. No. Didn't go like that. Abraham loved Sarah. And for an act as selfish as what she did, he loved her more. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't going to tolerate her being humiliated by the other one. So he put her out. He put her out. Yes, he did. If it wasn't for God, she'd have been in real trouble.
You know what?
God had a plan in this. And I'm just saying, God had a plan with this child. Because it was the seed of Abraham. And today we see a great nation resulting of God's protection. Regarding Hagar and her son. They are the people of the book. They are the people of the desert. And they are blessed with unending wealth. And the son that Sarah gave birth to is a victim in a land, huh? A distant land from where they were, and suffered bondage and all kinds of hell. But a promise was made to Abraham. God don't break promises.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it.
Never do.
I'm going my own self. I'm going to fulfill this promise. I'm the one who is going to get your seed. I'm going to get them. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to bring them out. I didn't know what. I'm going myself. He had great love for Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And he fulfilled his promise. And he said afterwards, how were we going to come out? How is your seed going to come out? There ain't going to be none like them. They are the best. They are the mightiest. And they are the wisest. They know both sides of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't going to be nobody up on this planet like them. I love you, Abraham. And I'm going to bless you like I bless no man.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great teacher. I don't know how we got him, brother. I don't know how we got him, but this is a great teacher. Yes, indeed. He came himself. We bear witness to that.
Oh, yeah.
And he fulfilled his promise. He have done everything that he said he was going to do. And after they come out, he said, what? The people who held them in bondage, I'm going to judge them. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
We right back to that judgment day, right?
Yep. I mean, bro.
I wouldn't want to
like
be,
I say,
I wouldn't
I mean,
want to
I
be
found,
in their shoes.
You know, like going through those scriptures, and like I said, I really put some time in it, man, day and night, and just looking at how do people arrive at their decisions, you know, that man, that's it. The scriptures just pregnant with all of that from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and I tell you, man, it is so much there, brother, and I hope that everybody that's listening would kind of start peering into these stories in that manner. And I tell you, you see a whole lot about yourself. You can see about a lot of things that take place around yourself and in your home and in the society. Ask yourself. Yeah.
Ask yourself, how do you arrive at your decision?
Exactly.
That's
the whole key.
I mean, I'm asking
you're
you to ask
with
yourself.
Self. Mm-hmm.
How do you arrive at your decision?
Oh yeah.
You think about what?
Oh, it's all based in experimentation, for one thing.
No, I mean, I'm asking you, how do you arrive at your decision? Every one of us go through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us go through this process, whether in this land or outside of this land.
Yeah.
How do you arrive at your decision?
How does it relate to you?
How does it relate? It's choices. Choice. You have choices.
Yeah.
You make choices, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you choose, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you arrive at your decision. You make choices. You choose to do or not to do. Huh?
And you look at it, and you look at how it relates to you as well in anything.
Well, I'm saying you're the one who is making the decision.
Exactly.
You either choose one from the other.
Oh, yeah.
So you either, that's just the nature of things. If you're making the decision whether I'm going to get up or not and go to work, who makes that decision? You.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's influenced, you make the decision. Even if it's influenced, you are the one making it.
Yep.
So you make it, hopefully, that it brings you what? Reward. Reward is what? Success. Success.
Yep.
But if it don't bring you that, what? Nevertheless, you made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kanye West was, oh man, he was on the hot seat for a while. When Kanye said, "What, slavery is a choice?"
Yeah. He definitely went into the hot seat on that one.
A lot of people, right?
I thought on that this week too. Yep.
Huh? Now ask yourself, when you really give thought to that, was he lying?
No, he wasn't. I mean, you could have chosen to fight to the death.
Well, why was he so harshly treated? By his own people.
Yeah.
By his own people. Why was he so harshly treated? Because he revealed something.
Yeah.
He revealed something that has been concealed. And what was concealed, the decision that many of our people chose to make rather than to deal with possible consequences of making the other decision.
Right.
So that goes on still today. It still goes on today. The people, it's amazing. You can get in trouble. I mean, real trouble when you go to unveiling things like that.
Mm-hmm.
People, what they call it, unveiling your shame.
Yeah.
Exposing you. You know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught about the hypocrite?
He said
the greatest fear of a hypocrite, is being exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Exposed. Think about that, bro.
Yeah.
Because when they are exposed, they are revealed to be what? Liars.
Right.
So people will fight you tooth and nail, bro. People will fight you tooth and nail. They will even try to take your life for revealing such truth as that. That's a trial.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing,
oh, yeah,
I'll tell you something, brother. I'll tell you this quickly. The one thing the manager did, boy, he made sure we had to face our demons. Boy, look at him. We had to face them. What did he have to face them with? No, we had to face them with nothing but the belief and faith in God. That's what we had to face them with.
Mm-hmm.
The truth that had been revealed to us by God's message to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we don't have no hard decision. What hard decision? I can't think of now. What hard decision? Do I have the hardest decision if you say I had to make? was I going to accept my own and be myself?
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I have no hard decisions.
Well, I tell you, whenever you got to make a decision, if you know, before we always close out at the mosque, a decision is it's presented to you that what you heard today was good and true for us as a people. When you raise your hand, then you hear the man saying that while I was talking up here, then someone, you was also having another conversation. And would you like to join on, you know, then become a part of the nation? And you see some hands go up, then you don't see nobody come at all.
That's right.
So,
that's,
you know,
right.
you that's a decision that you have to make.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And, you know, before we get out of here, I did want to point out this scripture that I saw in dealing with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Sarah went to Abraham, Genesis 16:6. And Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." So the scriptures went on and said that Sarah dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her presence. I don't read anywhere where it says she got put out. It says she left and fled from her presence. And then after it said that when she went out there, then says that the angel of the Lord, yeah, just say, hey, she left. So she was in, she's roaming. And then said that an angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. I'm pretty sure that was the place there. and he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" Hagar said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for a multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." Notice, a bad situation was made beneficial in the end. Now, that's the part I put in there. But, you know, brothers and sisters, this was very, very enlightening, and I have more to share on that, especially when we talk about Lot and Salas, with the Midian people. Oh, Shulam. But also the interesting thing about Lot's wife, we definitely need to look at that, because you all need to parse that. It says that she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. There is great significance in that, very great significance. How many minutes I got? Oh, we really don't have them minutes at all. All right, brother. Well, we're going to close out. I hate to leave people hanging on that. But if you all come back next week, we'll do part two on this subject and dealing with these making hard decisions in a time of judgment. I would like to greet you all with the greeting words of peace, of Oxalama Lake of peace, brother. We'll talk next week. Peace.
All right, peace.